Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, now it doesn't surprise me that they're trying to bring more of this California craziness to Bozeman, Montana. But to Butte, America, you can't bring that California craziness to Butte. I mean, this is where the Tom Hanks League of Their Own. There's no crying in baseball. That's the voice that's in the back of my head now. As I think, you can't bring this California craziness to Butte. Yeah, they'll do it in Bozeman all day long. But Butte, I saw this piece. It's on our Montana Talks website right now. Big environmental ban on the horizon. Bozeman first, Butte next, with the question mark. It's a write-up by our friend Devin Brosnan. By the way, Devin, it was great to see you at Metals in Butte last month. Great to catch up with you there and enjoy a great meal at Metals. But anyway, he wrote this piece here. Bozeman, known in Montana for a number of things, including being a bastion for New Age politics now, has seen 6,000 signatures from citizens attempting to place this on the ballot. Montana Plastic-Free. Plastic-Free. The group behind the initiative is seeking to ban single-use plastics in the city, which includes banning single plastic grocery bags, polystyrene food and containers, and polystyrene packing materials. The group needs 7,000 signatures by August 1st to get the measure on the upcoming November ballot. But, of course, there's a lot of folks who are concerned that this will just raise even more costs, especially on local businesses. I mean, think about it. The inflation rate just in Montana alone in the last 3 years is 22%. For restaurants, the restaurant inflation is 24% in the last 3 years because of all the massive government spending by Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and John Tester. And, of course, Kamala Harris wants to ban plastic bags and plastic straws. But you know, their same policies, which have driven up costs at the grocery store, driven up costs at the restaurants, well, now this type of stuff would only raise more costs. And so the question that Devin is raising is, okay, yeah, there's you know, thousands of people pushing for this in Bozeman, but are they going to push it in Butte now as well? I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised. This whole story, if you ask me, is yet another reminder of just how radical a certain political party has become in Montana now. Remember when we had that guy call in? He was one of the Democrat candidates for Congress in the East, and his kids are behind that climate lawsuit. Well, we're not as radical as those California Democrats. Oh, you're not? Really? Then why did you shut down the Keystone Pipeline? Why do you want to ban plastic straws and more?
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Do you guys remember when this whole "we need to ban plastic straws" thing started becoming a thing? And of course, it started along with all other bad ideas in, you know, California, probably Oregon and Washington. The cows. That's how Montana Senator Steve Daines, I read a story this morning. He's referring to California, Oregon, and Washington, the left coast. The cows, California, Oregon, and Washington, supporting all these crazy policies. And then, of course, the Montana Democrats hear about these crazy ideas and say, oh, yeah, let's do that in Bozeman. Yeah, let's do that in Butte. But remember when the plastic straw ban first started to be a thing? and they wanted to do away with plastic straws because there's just too much plastic out there. And so what did they do? Have you been to some of these coffee shops now where I actually like the new lids myself because I don't like using straws unless I'm trying to stir the beverage or something. So I actually like these new lids. You know, they're the big plastic lids that have the little lip in them so that you can sip your beverage that way. You don't need a straw now if you're getting like an iced coffee at a coffee shop. No joke, last week when I was traveling the state, I forget where I was at. I see this dude and he gets this iced coffee drink and it's got the big fancy massive plastic lid on it with the little lip in it so that you don't have to use a plastic straw. And he puts a plastic straw through the little lip. And I was like, well, that kind of took away the point of getting rid of plastic straws with this gigantic, much more plastic lid. But yeah, that's all right. Yeah, whatever. And I just thought it was so funny. There's a report that just came out. This is from the Manhattan Institute. I read about this in the Unleash Prosperity Hotline that just came out. Did you know that windmills are 4,000 times more dangerous to the environment than plastic straws? Windmills are 4,000 times more dangerous to the environment than plastic straws. I wonder if the 6,000 people who signed this petition in Bozeman to make Montana plastic free, I wonder if those same 6,000 people would also sign a petition to ban windmills in Montana. Now, of course they wouldn't. But yet windmills are 4,000 times more dangerous to the environment than plastic straws. For those of you that are doubting me, that are saying, oh, come on, Aaron, Kamala Harris, these guys, they don't want to ban plastic straws. You know, you said earlier in the week that Kamala Harris wants to ban fracking. She wants to ban red meat. Oh, come on, Aaron. Kamala Harris just this week said she's not against fracking. Well, let's just roll the tape. That's all we got to do, right?
I am Kamala Harris. My pronouns are she and her.
You're considered the most liberal United States senator.
Actually,
the nonpartisan GovTrack has rated you as the most liberal senator.
You have any plans to visit the border?
We are going to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
And I haven't been to Europe. I am in favor of saying that we're not going to treat people who are undocumented across borders criminals. That's correct. That is correct.
One of the signs at the rally you just held were people standing there saying, abolish ICE.
Yeah.
Is that a position that you agree with?
We need to probably think about starting from scratch.
So you support giving universal health care, Medicare for all to people who are in this country illegally?
I'm opposed to any policy that would deny in our country any human being public health. Period.
Are you for defunding the police?
How are you defining defund the police?
It's actually wrong and backward to think that more police officers will create more safety.
We need to get rid of money bail.
Convicted in prison, like the Boston Marathon bomber, on death row, people who are convicted of sexual assault, they should be able to vote?
I think we should have that conversation. I am prepared to get rid of the filibuster to pass a Green New Deal. I have always supported Medicare for All. I was very happy to sign on to Bernie's bill, and I give Bernie, frankly, a lot of credit. There's no question I'm in favor of banning that.
Do you ban plastic straws?
I think we should.
There you go. What a powerful montage that was put together. That was put together by Team Trump. And I got permission from the Trump campaign to be able to share that full audio with you here this morning. Jason Thielman, who's the executive director of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, which is led by Montana Senator Steve Daines, shared that same video 3 days ago and asked a very important question. Why did John Tester recruit her, knowing that she advocates for such dangerous and radical ideas? That's a very good question. That's the very point that Laura Loomer made on this show here yesterday, because Laura Loomer has documented how John Tester, the liberal senator from here in Montana, who's now pretending to be a moderate on his Chuck Schumer paid for campaign commercials, John Tester is the person who brought Kamala Harris to the national stage. John Tester is the senator who went to California and recruited Kamala Harris to run for the United States Senate in the very first place, because he is just as radical left as she is. But he has to pretend to be a moderate because he is desperately trying to cling to power during the 2024 elections. All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Anything and everything you want to talk about here on the show, or you can jump in on the conversation with whatever topics I end up bringing up for you here. We'll go to Scott in Corum. Scott in Corum first up on the phone lines right after this. And then we got Tim in Billings and some phone lines available for you if you call right now. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well and be heard all across the great state of Montana.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into the phone calls here. 406-294-0970. Scott in Corum. Great to hear from you, Scott. What's going on?
Hi, Aaron. First time caller.
Oh, great.
I have to say, you know, this the straw ban or the plastic ban in Bozeman is a perfect example of environmentalists not thinking things through. I'm willing to bet the farm that out of those 6,000 petitioners that signed that petition, I wonder if any of them go to the pot dispensaries and how many of them walk out with a plastic container or baggie of their little green goodies.
Or vaping with plastic vape pens, right?
Right, yeah. So, I mean, it's like they don't think it through. So they bland their plastic, and then they go to the dispensary, and their green goodies go up in price because everything has to be put in something else. I just think it's funny. It's just a perfect example of environmentalists not thinking things through.
Well, yeah, and it's like, okay, if you don't want people using plastic, well, why don't you help them use something else instead of artificially drive up the prices that they pay for groceries and restaurants? Look, Montana, we're doing better than other states because we've got, you know, a governor and a pro-business legislature right now. And so we're doing better than other states, but we're still being hit by the national inflation. I mean, the grocery prices, the gas prices, everything. And so the same people that are driving up the price of groceries now want to drive up groceries even higher. But if they're truly against plastic bags, why don't they pass out an alternative? Why don't they put their money towards funding something else that they can give to people? Instead, they just want to make everybody pay.
Right, yeah. It's all greed-driven in the end. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, these environmental groups.
The plastic manufacturers are making a killing off these dispensaries with all the doggone... I mean, I see it on the road, these stupid little joint containers and all kinds of colored containers and baggies, and it's absolutely crazy. The best part about it is usually these dispensaries put their logos on there.
Yeah. Well, and the absurdity of the whole, like, when they tried to do away with plastic straws, and then they ended up using more plastic with the plastic lids that replaced it all. Again,
yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. All these people do is just virtue signal and drive up costs for everybody. That actually, Scott, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. And yeah, call in again. Always enjoy hearing some first-time callers out there. That actually reminds me. You know, so I'm going to be in Miles City probably Thursday night and then into Friday morning. I'm going to bring some of these bags with me. I'm going to bring a bunch more of these, out on the town in Bozeman, too. So these environmentalists are trying to force a ban on plastic bags in Bozeman. But again, why don't you give people an alternative? You know what? I'm going to do that job for them. We've got, so I've been doing these events that are paid for by Americans for Prosperity Montana, this Bidenomics tour that we've been doing all across the state. And I'll be in Miles City. I haven't told anybody about this yet. I'll be in Miles City Thursday night and then into Friday morning and a lunch event as well. I will bring these canvas shopping bags. They are our canvas shopping bags. They're the Bidenomics bags, though, so they're only about 80% full because, you know, you're losing about 20% plus because of Bidenomics. So because of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and John Tester's policies. So that's why your grocery bags are a little lighter than they used to be because the costs have gone up for everything. But I'm going to bring some of those canvas bags. So all you so-called environmentalists that don't like plastic bags, well, you can get one of our canvas Bidenomics bags in Miles City this this Thursday and Friday. I'll give you more details on those events here maybe by tomorrow. All right, let's go to Tim in Billings next up on the phone lines. Tim, what's going on?
Morning, Aaron. So I was watching some of the Senate hearing with the new director of the Secret Service and then his associate. I can't remember what his title was, but there was Mr. Rowe, and then I think the other guy's name was Abate or Abate or something.
Abate, yeah.
So I was going to say we need to get Ken or somebody, one of these other liberals, to check with the DNC, and they need to check the connectivity with Mazie Hirono's brain. She hasn't got the newest update. She was saying how this shooter, she had heard that he had a social media profile that was anti-Semitic. She didn't get the upload that anti-Semitic is okay with the DNC now. As long as they're supporting Hamas, they can be anti-Semitic all day long. So Ken, if you're out there listening, call the DNC, check to see that Mazie got the new upload so she can tear up the talking points, because she obviously didn't get it.
Well, yeah, well, I don't know. Did you watch Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's speech? I listened to it. But apparently, one of the best sound bites of Bibi Netanyahu's speech is when he went after these crazy, deranged, useful idiot protesters who protest in support of Hamas and these terrorists that slaughtered innocent women, children, and babies, right? And most in the crowd in the joint address to Congress were cheering this line when he called out these radical, pro-Hamas activists. But, you know, John Tester couldn't stand and cheer for that. And the reason he couldn't is because that is his base of supporters. That is the radicals in the Missoula Democrat Party. I mean, that is the Zoe Zephyr caucus. And he can't stand up to them.
Maybe our friend Rabbi Chaim Bruck could get a hold of Mr. Tester. He's coming on the show and call his office and ask him why he hates Israelis now.
Well, our good friend the rabbi is very diplomatic, but two-faced. There's a reason why they refer to John Tester as two-faced Tester, because on the one hand he'll try to pretend to be pro-Israel, and then on the other hand he will bow down and cave to these pro-Hamas protesters as well.
I loved George's story, George Blackard's story, about talking to him about a veteran issue. And how as soon as he realized it wasn't about glad-handing him and telling him how great he was, the smile faded from his face, and he turned to his aide and he said, "Get this information from this gentleman," and he walked away. What a slime ball, what a sleazy piece of horse filth that guy is, and people who vote for him, I'm sorry, you are idiots. There's just, well, you're suckers. And you're idiots.
One of the worst things that George Blackard pointed out, you know, George Blackard, I've known George now for over a decade, and he's told this story on the air, so I'm not sharing, you know, personal information that I shouldn't. But, you know, and Tim, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. But one of the stories that he shared was, you know, back in the day, he was vice chair of the American Legion in Montana. He was the head of our American Legion Post 117 that I've been a member of. He does everything to help his fellow veterans, and he was never political. You know, he would help out with events, whether it was for a Democrat or a Republican, if they were doing listening sessions with veterans, you name it. But he started asking questions about some of the bad things that were happening at the VA. This was back during the Obama years. And John Tester did not like that. So John Tester's operatives, his staff, went out and started personally targeting George at the VA. They even went out to his private health care providers and started trashing him. I mean, frankly, like, people should have lost their jobs for what John Tester's office did to our friend George Blacker. But you know, that also explains why George is so outspoken now as well. All right. Thanks for the call there, Tim. I got a message from our friend Christine in the Missoula area talking about the leftists in Bozeman that want to ban plastic bags in Bozeman and eventually Butte. She makes a great point here. Now, she's one of our logger friends in the timber industry. She says this, well, and you can't use paper bags either because that tree, a.k.a. ag product or renewable resource, you can't use paper bags either because that tree can't be cut down, according to these same radical environmentalists. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Jim in Great Falls. Jim, what's going on?
Hey, I like your idea on the bags, your canvas bags. The only problem is there's too many uncouth people out here, and they aren't going to wash their bags. They're going to bring their bed bugs to the grocery store, and their cat was sleeping on it. So, you know, at the shop, we have port-a-shop rag washes. You just throw your dirty rags in, they come and get them and get them washed. So you will lend me the money, we'll go into partnership, and we'll have a little drop-off and wash. Drop your dirty ones off at this end, and grab your clean canvas bag, walk in and shop. That way you don't bring all your crap from home.
You mean to tell me that the crazy cat ladies supporting the ban on plastic bags might bring their dirty cat hair covered canvas bag back and forth to the grocery store?
Some scary individuals in the aisle sometimes over the processed foods or the fresh foods over there, and I'm like, I ain't getting no carrots today.
Oh man, you know, you could just feel the cat hair invading your groceries already. Oh man, thanks for that visual.
Well, you know, it's a great idea, and I appreciate it, because the plastics, you know, it's out here baling hay all the time, and you got plastics, and you get a little chunk of that every time those knot on the thing. And we used to have sisal twine, and there's a lot of these guys that still use sisal, and that's a good thing because it biodegrades, and I think we should go back to that, because I'm against all the plastics, too, when you're out here and you see just how much of it there is.
Yeah.
It's becoming all these little microfibers everywhere, and, you know, I'm an environmentalist, the original, because I'm farm and ranch. I'm not your tree spiker. But, yeah, I'm against a lot of these plastics, so let's go back to some of this stuff that we were able to use in the old days, like paper bags.
Yeah. I mean, the same people that want to ban plastic sacks or their bags are the same people that, you know, like our friend, you know, Christine pointed out, that don't want you drying your hands with paper towels at the restroom. But shut up and wear your mask. Shut up and wear your mask. Following no science whatsoever. All right, Jim, great to hear from you. We got Tom and Bozeman, Lee and Livingston, and phone lines open for you as well.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
A major development in meatpacking news as National Beef Company has settled its ongoing wage-fixing lawsuit, according to a federal court notice this week. The lawsuit alleges that several food companies conducted secret compensation surveys and meetings to depress and fix employee wages. While the exact terms of the settlement remain undisclosed, the notice filed in the U.S. District Court for the District of Colorado indicates that the settlement is pending court approval. National Beef's agreement follows American Food Group's $4 million settlement in June, where the company denied any wrongdoing. The lawsuit, which dates back to at least 2014, accuses companies of conspiring to fix wages for employees at around 140 red meat processing plants nationwide, violating the Sherman Antitrust Act. The companies involved produce approximately 80% of the red meat sold in the United States. As the court reviews 9 motions to dismiss from other companies, 7 more, including Cargill and Hormel, have yet to announce settlements. The lawsuit highlights secret meetings and no-poach agreements that allegedly prevented competitive hiring practices impacting workers' wages across the industry. That's a look at your news. I'm Lane Nordland.
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I got an email from one of our listeners, Joe. I forget what town Joe is listening in here, but Joe says, Joe used to work at a grocery store and had to pack people's bags. Sometimes I had to go wash my hands after packing because the bags were so dirty. Just like the caller Jim in Great Falls was talking about there just a few minutes ago. Meanwhile, Peggy says, good morning from Highwood. Just a thought, I'm old enough to remember paper bags at the grocery stores. Tree huggers and environmentalists rallied for the trees and made the decision to use plastic bags to save the planet. Another not so well thought out policy. All right, Tom and let's go to Tom and Bozeman. I know we had some other callers that wanted to weigh in on this same topic. I probably should have got to the other callers first, since to keep all the calls in the same batch here. But I don't want to keep Tom waiting too long. He's next up in the queue here. Tom, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
You bet, Aaron. Well, I am going to change the topic completely. With an election coming up, just want to point out some of the gross inconsistencies and errors in Montana law. You know, big issue about, entitlement to vote, et cetera, particularly students. Title I of the code talks about residents. How do I determine a resident? Well, it's someone in seasons of repose intends to return to the state of Montana. It's someone who's going to file Montana tax returns, submit themselves to the laws of Montana. Well, that's wrong. That's not a resident. That's a domiciliary. You know, there's a book called Black's Law Dictionary, and it points out the distinction between your residence and your domicile. Now, your residence is nothing more than where you're physically located at any given point in time, where your domicile is where you're physically located at any point in time with the intention of making it your permanent domicile. So when these Democrats in the 70s drafted the law as related to voting, it's anomalous that in order to be considered a domiciliary, they used that term in the hunting and fishing statute. To get a resident hunting license, you've got to be a domiciliary for 180 days. But to vote, which is far more significant, all you have to be is a resident for 30 days. So If I live in Illinois and I happen to travel to Montana and I'm here on vacation for 31 days under our statute, as drafted, I'm a resident because I'm physically located here for 30 days, but I have no nexus with Montana. I don't file tax returns here. I didn't get a driver's license here. I'm going to return to Illinois. And it's under this crazy law that all of these students vote on election day. And I think
reminder of how we do more to protect animals than we do to protect people. Right.
Oh, exactly. And I think this was intentionally put into law by Democrats to allow students who will typically vote liberal. The statute says if you're a resident of Montana for 30 days, you can vote in our election. No, the statute should say if you're a domiciliary of Montana, because you've got to have the intention of making Montana your home. That's why you need Thurgood Marshall said 30 days to vet these kids. If you've got an intention, you've got to have gotten a driver's license. You've gotten to have done things indicating you intend to stay here.
There was a vote in Congress. Republicans think that we should check to make sure that people are actually citizens of the United States before voting in the elections in the United States. The Democrats, by and large, voted against that. Remember, John Tester voted to continue counting illegal aliens in the census, stripping away power from states like Montana to give it to states like his buddy Chuck Schumer's and Kamala Harris's in California. But no, Tom, thanks for the call. And yeah, this whole point that, well, why is it easier to vote than it is to hunt when there's far greater implications for voting than it is than for hunting? But that just reminds me that I was trying to think as you gave that analogy, I was trying to think, what was that story that caught my eye earlier this week, falling in line with this idea that we do more to protect animals than we do to protect people. I mean, if there's a swine flu, we got to make sure we don't get livestock from some South American country because there's something that might impact animals here in America. But these same people will flood our border with Mexican drug cartel operatives, with murderers and rapists and insane asylum escapees. But if there's a threat to wildlife, jump right on it. The story that caught my eye, and again, Tom, thanks for the call. The story that caught my eye, David Jay, who does a great job for KTVQ television, apparently there was an Alzheimer's convention. And at this Alzheimer's convention, they had a report that claims that wildfire smoke may lead to Alzheimer's, which is very bad news for all of us here in Montana, because thankfully, at least, you know, the skies above our Montana Talk studios right now are clear, but the smoke will come back on Friday, according to the National Weather Service office. But if wildfire smoke could cause Alzheimer's, then shouldn't these liberal federal judges, will block a timber project to save a grizzly bear, to save the lynx, even though it really doesn't harm the grizzly bear or the lynx, but that's their excuse. They will shut down a forest health project to save an animal. That's their argument anyway. But it sounds like to me that if wildfire smoke can cause Alzheimer's and a whole host of other effects, maybe these liberal federal judges should start allowing all of these forest health projects to take place and stop siding with these crooked environmental groups. Just a thought. All right, next up, let's go to Lee in Livingston. Lee, what's on your mind?
Morning, Aaron. Hey, just to tag on to a lot of what's been said, I think the environmental movement is really what brought plastic bags into the grocery store and plastics all throughout our society, because they were against cutting down trees, which is the stupidest thing in the world, to use an organic product that recycles down into the soil, compost more easily. But that's what they fought against. But to me, it all depends on who's getting paid. It's the same reason you can smoke a joint pretty much anywhere, but you can't walk around with a solo cup downtown. So it really just depends on who's pushing the buttons and trying to direct them and trying to shift the economy in the direction of people that they like.
Oh, man, he said red solo cup. Red solo cup. No, put that red solo cup down. Could you just see the enviro-fascists running around yelling at people for carrying around red solo cups? Boy, they better not show up to a tailgate this fall, huh?
Yeah. Hey, can I make one Supreme Court comment?
No. No, of course you can. Yeah, go for it, please. Yeah.
Hey, on July 1st, right after the presidential immunity case was settled, Ketanji Brown Jackson, tagging on to Sotomayor, commented that I guess this probably means it's okay for a president to target an assassination on his political opponent. I haven't even heard that repeated or mentioned since that happened, and it was one of the first things that came to my mind after the attempt on Donald Trump.
Yeah.
It was a very cryptic comment when she said it. And how could that not have made its way back into the news since?
No, that's a good point. Yeah, I saw somebody make that point maybe a time or two, probably on like X or one of these social media platforms. But no, isn't that curious, especially given all failure after failure after failure and the way they you know, deliberately put President Trump at risk. I mean, the arrogance of this now acting Secret Service director yesterday when he was being questioned by Texas Senator Ted Cruz and refusing to answer any questions. I mean, but no, they deliberately denied resources to President Donald J. Trump. They put him at risk. And yeah, I mean, when she made those remarks, oh, so you're saying that that they could go out and assassinate somebody. And then what happened a short time? An assassination attempt on President Donald J. Trump. Well, and then you got this former Montana Supreme Court Justice Nelson celebrating the assassination attempt, and none of his colleagues disavowed those remarks.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Great message here from Lori in Bozeman on our Montana Talks app. She says, I'm with that last text. I remember when it was such a big deal to get rid of paper bags and replace with plastic. Oh, we're killing the trees. Use plastic. Maybe if we went back to logging trees, these wildfires wouldn't get so out of control. Great point, Lori. Speaking of wildfires and wildfire smoke, so I checked in with the National Weather Service office out of Billings earlier this morning. And I asked them, hey, where is all this smoke coming from? Most of the smoke is coming from a big fire in Northern California, and then some fires, I believe, in Oregon, and then in Idaho as well. But for California and Oregon in particular, you know, I wish they would adopt a more aggressive initial attack firefighting strategy like what our governor outlined last week when I caught up with him in Kalispell. You know, if they had more of an aggressive initial attack, maybe we wouldn't be getting so much of their wildfire smoke. And then Canada, remember earlier in the year, a lot of the smoke was coming from Canada. Sean and Shelby messaged me yesterday a story from Rebel News out of Canada. Evidence suggests bureaucratic negligence behind the Jasper fire. So much like we have problems down here with our federal government, same thing applies for our friends north of the border in Alberta who are dealing with the Trudeau federal government up there. And then we got to deal with the smoke down here. Kevin in Kalispell, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Well, I need clarification on something, Aaron.
Okay.
It's with regard to political advertisements. I've heard at least two John Tester advertisements on your program this morning, and I was just wondering, is there a federal law that says you have to accept those, or how does that work?
As I understand it, yeah, so it's probably on your local radio station where you're hearing those ads, because in our statewide, because when it goes to commercial, some of the ads you'll hear all across the state, and then some of them are just your local radio station. If it was a political campaign commercial from or for a candidate, that was likely on your local radio station, because we in my statewide show, we tell the political candidates to go buy advertising from their local radio station. If you are going to accept political dollars, you have to accept. You can't pick and choose and say, no, I'm only going to take Republican campaign ads. As I understand it, at least, these stations are required to have to run those ads.
And they plug those into whatever time slot they want to, I guess. Is that?
Well, yeah, I'd have to ask their traffic people on how they plug it in and where. There's all sorts of rules, because especially when you're dealing with over the air broadcast stations, et cetera, yeah, and political ads. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, all right. Hey, thanks for the call. Yeah, as I understand it, but again, I'm not on the sales side of the house. Those folks do yeoman's work, and I'm certainly not a traffic director. I'm not that smart to figure out how to. Boy, I tell you what, those folks, they have a tough job in their hands, especially during these political years. All right, thanks, Kevin. Next up, we've got, let's see, who is, oh, Ken, oh no, we lost Ken in Billings. So let's go to Don in Bozeman. Don, what's going on?
Yeah, Aaron, I just wanted to thank you for being a good voice for Montanans. My family and I have been involved in agriculture in the Gallatin Valley for many, many generations, and it sure is getting hard to be a Montanan in Bozeman. They're trying to replace personal responsibility with regulation, and it's just getting harder and harder to, be a traditional Montanan here in Bozeman. And I just want to thank you for speaking up for traditional Montana values.
Man, you're too kind. Well, I'll tell you, Gallatin Valley, a lot of people, don't realize just how significant and how important agriculture is in the Gallatin Valley. And just some beautiful farms out there. I put a write-up by Tom Burnett on our Montana Talks website. And he's pointing out how these anti-development groups in Bozeman are also targeting agriculture, which is just absurd because agriculture's got to be the most environmental thing you could do.
And they're doing it without the voice of the farmers and ranchers. It feels like there's absolutely no voice at all available on, especially the city commission, et cetera. But it's getting tough.
Well, and the county commission as well. And so, yeah, hopefully you guys can get some change in the county commission there because, they're a part of this anti-ag, anti-development type of nonsense as well.
Yep, and all of a sudden, progressives figured out if they live in Bozeman, they can run for county commission, and it's just going to get worse and worse.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, now's the time to step up and speak out because, yeah, they do. They are targeting agriculture. It's just like Kamala Harris telling people that we need to reduce our red meat consumption. When they tell you what they think, listen, right?
Yep. They'll show you who they are, and you might as well just take them at their word for it.
Exactly. And don't let the threat grow. Attack the threat early on, like a noxious weed, right? Hey, Don, thanks for what you and your family does to feed Montana and to feed America. Thanks for calling in. Joe and Cody, sorry we ran out of time. The Unleashed Prosperity Hotline has the windmill story.